Our second speaker is Jack Shallock, and the title of his presentation is Effects of Deficit Irrigation on a Plant Available Water, Cotton Root Growth, and Cotton Yield in the Rio Grande Plains of Texas. Jack?
Thank you. Can everyone hear me all right? My name is Jack Shallock, like you said, and first I'd like to also thank Dr. Rowland, Dr. Morgan, Dr. Forbes, and Ms. Spear for their assistance in this project. I feel fortunate for being able to present in San Antonio. Our project site is approximately 90 miles from here, so I feel like I'm on my home turf. So for those of you not from the state, welcome to Texas. Our project is at the AgriLife Research and Extension Center. It's part of the Texas A&M system. We have a 24-hectare center pivot. Our main well is from the Edwards Aquifer, and like San Antonio, which is also gets most of their water from the Edwards Aquifer, there is a lot of interest in water conservation in the area. In Uvalde, the average annual precipitation is just under 600 millimeters, although the past 2 years we've received about half of that. I'm sure everyone has heard about the droughts we've been having. So, and we have two soil types in Uvalde. In our field, we have a silty clay loam and a clay. The objectives of our project: to improve our understanding of crop physiology and water use under a regulated deficit irrigation. The goal is, of course, to conserve irrigation water and reduce farm costs if possible. We sought to do this by comparing two different tillage treatments. We had a strip tillage and a conservation tillage system. We had four replications of each and three irrigation regimes. Full irrigation, which in actuality was very difficult to keep up with crop need. So, you know, in the past year, our full irrigation might have actually been somewhat of a deficit. But our deficit irrigation received 70% of the full each time we irrigated. And our third treatment is what we're calling primed acclimation. And a primed acclimation is it's a regulated deficit irrigation. It received 70% until the crop flowered. And then during bowl filling, we switched over and it received 100% for the remainder of the growing season. So it's received the same as our 70% and then the same as the 100 for the second half of the season. 70% was found to be the threshold before really stress was induced. That was done by a previous researcher at our research station. And the goals, we were trying to avoid water stress, but to elicit some growth response, primarily in the rooting system, from this early season deficit. Here's a slide showing our layout. In 2010, we were in the western quarter of our field, and you can see our three irrigation regimes. And in 2011, we were in the eastern quarter. Radially is where we randomized our tillage treatments and our replications toward the center of the pivot. We hypothesized that the primed acclimation would cause crops to develop more extensive root systems and increase yield, and also that our strip till treatments would have more available water than conventionally tilled system. I'm presenting results from 2010 and 2011. This slide shows the difference in cumulative irrigation and precipitation for the past 2 years. I want you to note that in 2011 received slightly more irrigation water than 2010. Also, across the bottom, you can see the length of the growing season. This year was much warmer, and our season was quite a bit shorter than last year. Here's a comparison of the 2 years, the average seed cotton weight. You can see 2010 across the and 2011 with the three irrigation treatments, and the two different bar colors are by tillage treatment. In 2010, the yield results were consistent with what we hypothesized. The primed acclimation produced were not significantly different than the full irrigation. While at the same time, we were able to save about 10% overall in water that was applied, which is meaningful for the area, being able to maintain yields and save 10% of the water. In 2011, the yield from our deficit irrigation was unexpected. You can see that from the full and the primed acclimation treatment, and strip tillage was consistent with 2010, despite being about half of the yield weight. This was slightly unexpected, so we're still working to explain this, but we have a few ideas. We used neutron scattering as well in our research. This slide shows the soil water content for the three different irrigation schedules. I think the important point to note from this slide is how the strip tillage was able to hold more soil water than conventional tillage, and that is consistent with what we hypothesized. In 2011, however, there was not a significant difference between strip tillage and conventional tillage, as I'll show in the upcoming slides. I think this is because the amount of water in the soil profile at the start of the season was not as high, and so there wasn't as large of a difference because there wasn't as much water in the profile. In 2010, you can see in this graph we have, this is incremental water content with depth. The depth is along the y-axis, and the different lines are different measurement dates in June, July, and August, and you can see the pattern of drying down over time. I'd like you to look at the start time is around 25 millimeters for each depth increment, and it dries down to around 20. And in 2011, our initial water content was around the same as where it ended in 2010. So we were starting about where we finished in 2010 this year. And this is why I think that we weren't able to see the differences in tillage treatments this year. I plotted the change in water content over time, and I'd like you to notice particularly the last date. In 2011, the change between the full and the primed acclimation was similar, and the deficit was much greater. This graph is consistent with the yield results. We are investigating the soil physical properties. I suspect that a change in soil type, because we have the two soil types in our field, might be able to describe what's happening here. And I think a soil effect might be outweighing the actual irrigation effect. It's it's evident that more water was mined from the soil from the deficit irrigation, which would explain the higher yields this year. So in summary, there's no significant difference in yield between the full irrigation and the primed acclimation in 2010. But just as a reminder, that's while saving 10% of the irrigation water for the primed acclimation treatment. In 2010, the strip-tilled plots held more soil water than the conventional tillage, and the treatment effect was evident when there was sufficient water in the soil profile. Compared to 2011, where we began the season with much less water in the profile, I think that explains why we weren't able to see the significance. So there was no significant difference in yield between the irrigation treatments as well as the tillage treatments. So, like I said, we're continuing to investigate the look more closely at the soil physical properties. We have used a EM38 to scan for electrical conductivity and looking. Hopefully that can explain some of the variability in our soil profile. And that is all. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Jack. Yeah, we have time for two or three questions. Go ahead.
So one question. So you mentioned about the prime irrigation increase the root depths. Do you have any data to show the difference of the rooting root depths?
Yes, the question was about rooting depth. We, I installed in 2010 and 2011 many rhizotron tubes to image root growth over time throughout the season. Unfortunately, perhaps due to installation error, or we're still looking for an explanation, but was not able to get the results from the root images that we expected. For the most part, we weren't seeing the roots, so there's perhaps that we missed the row during installation. So I don't have the rooting root data.
Since you made the soil or water content during the room season, right?
Yes. Yes, the question is about how we measured water content, is that correct?
Yeah.
We used a neutron probe.
Okay.
We began at the beginning of the season, the measurements were less frequent, and toward the end of the season, they were more frequent. I showed in the graph I showed about one measurement per month starting in, I think the first one I might have shown was in June. So June, July, and August were what I showed in the graph, but measurements were taken more on a more frequent basis.
From that data set, you might be able to see the root depths for different treatments.
Yes, I think possibly if I look at that more closely, that might be evident.
Any other question? We have time for one more.
Do you know the crop evapotranspiration for the whole season and how it relates to the amount of water that was applied for 2010 and 2011?
No, that I haven't calculated that yet, but...
But is there a number? Like a number that you could relate for cotton in this area and not how many millimeters are used over the entire season?
Yes, the question is about if I know the crop evapotranspiration rate in the area for cotton. I don't know that offhand.